ever lived. Amen. We're going to trust the Lord to give us unction this morning. 15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, studying the life of Christ here on earth. And Jesus said, "Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify me." It is Jesus from Genesis 1 to the Revelation 21 or 2. The amen. Amen. It's all in Jesus. Give him the praise. Last Sunday we talked to you about a group of people, the Pharisees and scribes. They accused the Son of God and his disciples of breaking the traditions of the elders. And Jesus turned it on them, and he said to them, "You know, you, by your traditions, are breaking the commandment of God." Now, church, I preached this to you last Sunday, but let me say this as we go on to the rest of the lesson. But the tradition of the elders have no life in them. Now, I don't know if we're... Let's all see. We'll get on the same page now. When a preacher says something usually like that, that's true, then usually the saints say amen. I know we're getting to get a little confused here, but you know, I just want to make sure we're on the same page here. I said the traditions of the elders have no life in them. Now that's a lot better. But the commandments of God have life. It's as different as daylight and dark. It's as different, amen, as water and dust. Amen. My words, they are spirit and they are life. I'm alive this morning because I've been begotten by the Word of God. I said, I've been begotten by the Word of God. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit, the water and the Spirit. Amen. How many knows if there was no gospel, you couldn't be saved? How can you believe in whom you've not heard? How can you hear without a preacher? Amen. The words of life. Jesus, they came back and told Pilate, never a man spake like this man. It is sacrilegious for us to take the traditions of men and replace them for the commandments of God. It not only is not right, it is dead. And if we've got a church, you listen to me now, if we got a church that the whole essence of our church are on the traditions of our forefathers, we've got a dead, dry, dusty, worthless church. But if we got a church that has been born by the Word of God, that is thriving off the Word of God, breathing with the power of the Spirit of God, then we have got something that will be effective in our community. Amen. And pleasing to God. Are y'all with me? How many understands what I'm talking about?
You say you don't believe wholeness? Don't get me started. I believe it. This is holiness. I said, this is holiness. Amen. Woo! Feel like preaching a little bit this morning.
Now, Jesus rebuked them, and I'm going to go into, I'm going to preach today, whatever you call it. I'm going to talk about where Jesus explained this to the disciples. It's not what goes in that defileth a man, but that which proceedeth out that defileth a man. And he is referring to washing with unclean hands. And we went through that, you know, civilly and rationally speaking, you probably ought to wash your hands before you eat. If it's, you know, but it is not a spiritual thing. It is not a matter of commandment of the Lord. You understand? Because, and then Christ explains it. I'm going to read it to you. Christ explains it. The reason this is what goes in. If you take something in, that's not what defiles you. It may make you sick to your stomach. And if it's poison, it may kill you. Huh? I don't know what all we're taking, and we're probably killing ourselves, aren't we? And if it ain't the quality of the food that's bad, it's the quantity. Now, Pudgy can preach that, can't I? If it wasn't for food, I'd be slim. I'm going to blame it on my metabolism. I don't know what that is exactly. But it's not what goes in that defiles a man, but what really matters is that comes out. The words, the deeds, the intent. Now let's read. Oh, hallelujah. I love the Lord. If you love him, say amen. He called the multitude. I love this. It's what I love this about Jesus. I tell you, I love him. And I've read about men in history. I've read about Daniel Boone and David Crockett and George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham was okay. Amen. But I tell you, I've never read about a man like Jesus. And I have so many hundreds and thousands of things I like about him. But you know, I like this about him. He was talking to this little select clique of the Pharisees. And when he got ready to teach the truth, he called the whole multitude. I want the whole group to come in. I want to talk to you. You know, this gospel is for every man, woman, boy, and girl. For the rich, the poor. He told John the Baptist, he said, you go back and tell John, amen, that the poor are having the gospel preached to them. Amen. That was one of the signs that he was the Son of God, because he came to this earth, amen, not to just appeal to the upper echelon, but he came to this world to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. He calls the multitude in. He said, I got a lesson for you. I tell you what, we overlook sometimes our children in church. We don't realize, we just think they're there because we made them come, and we just shoot over top of their heads. Amen. And they'll grow up right in church, not knowing nothing hardly at all about God, sitting right on the church pew. If we don't lower our sight sometime and include the little ones, amen. You know, we don't just get these kids up here on Sunday morning because they look cute. Amen. And we might see a little scrap. Amen, a little entertainment up here. We get them up here. I holler at them, and I say, come on, praise God, you're doing good. Hallelujah, sing for Jesus. Amen, because we want them to be involved, amen, in the worship of the Lord, because that is vital in their life. Not a talent contest, not an American idiot idol. Well, that come out wrong, didn't it? Amen, we're here to worship God. Amen. They don't have to. I'm living proof. You don't have to be on key to worship God. I mean, it helps if you can find it. Huh? Sometimes I've sung a song and been in several at one time. Y'all ever do that? Talent takes talent. Listen to this. He called the multitude and he said to them, hear and understand. Now that's red words, command. I want you to hear what I'm saying, and I want you to understand. It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. This defileth a man. Now, I want you to notice what the disciples said. Are y'all still with me? They came and said, then came the disciples and said unto him, to Jesus, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Lord, did you not know that you just offended some pretty good tithe payers? y'all don't love me all the time. Y'all need to work on that. There's times your love fades out on me. Huh? Have you ever Have you ever been to a service where a preacher offended somebody? Huh? You say, well, I don't think it ought to be like it. Well, Jesus did. Now, I don't think, now look, I don't, now Jesus, now this caught the disciples a little off guard. Now listen to me. I don't think preachers ought to be a bull in a china shop. Huh? And I myself, I get to preaching, I get on a subject that I'm passionate about, and if I don't get really anointed and keep the Holy Ghost on me, I'll say something cutting and harsh that I wish I had back. Now, y'all look at me, oh, Brother Randy, you know I do. I blistered some of y'all a little too hot at times. Huh? Hey, but now let's go back and talk about this. This kind of, Brother Zane, I believe, now this is just Randy's way of thinking, but I believe that this kind of caught them off guard a little, because Christ's words, when he talked to sinners and children, man, he was gentle, easy. I mean, how many's read his words? He looked at that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, and he said, "Where are thine accusers? They're not here. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, boy, that sounds pretty gentle, don't it? Huh? He is a gentle Savior. But I'm going to tell you where it fits and where it is earned. Amen. He didn't care to offend them. You hear what I'm saying? I said he did not care to offend these Pharisees. And these disciples came to him and said, "Lord, you know," they could have said, "This ain't like you. I can't. Do you realize you offended them people? When you said it's not what goes into a man that defiled him, but what proceeded out. Do you realize you've offended those?" And I'm not gonna stay on this a long time. I don't want to offend nobody, but you know, he didn't really care. Now we're in a spoiled generation that wants everything just so. Spoiled brats. And some of them never grow out of it. Do they? They want what they want now, even if they have to apply for another credit card. Wonder what they're having at V&V today. Chicken, probably. Huh? Yeah. Hey, how about it? Are you listening? Yeah, we want, and when it comes to property, we just want what's ours and what joins it. Am I preaching right yet or not? Yeah, we're in that. Hey, and you come to church. A lot of people go to church. One time, y'all, here we go. Yeah, I feel the boat starting to rock right here. But I was on a job, and a guy was working on a heat pump. You've heard me tell it before, but it applies to what I'm saying. And you know, he was smoking a big old, he was smoking a pipe, because the reason I remember it is because I like the smell of it. It had something in it, cherry or something, and it was just wafting up through that, and I thought, boy, that smells good. Something burning some incense down there under the floor. And it was that pipe, you know, and that guy had been out all weekend, had him a big party, and you know, I think he went to the NASCAR race at Bristol, and he was just carrying on. I could hear him talking bad and talking about it. But then when I come around, he said, preacher, I did go to church Sunday. I went to church. I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. And he said, you know, I went and said, that preacher come back here and shook my hand. And he said, you know, and told me he's glad to have me. And I told him I was there, you know, I was camped out here and we'd been out there the weekend and I was at the race. And he said, boy, I'm glad you told me that. He said, I had that in my message to preach against this kind of, you know, about this. And I'm glad you told me. I'll take that out of my message. That's what he told me. I'll take that out of my message so I don't offend you today. You know, that's what 99% of the churches across America are, just little places to come in and be petted on the head. Nice little sinner. Nice little sinner. You're going to go to heaven. Nice little sinner. When if he told the truth, he'd say, bad sinner, we're going to hell. Sure, quiet in here, Brother Jeff. Are you parked where we can get out if I need to, real quick? Huh? Listen, Jesus told him like it was. How many likes a preacher just to tell the plain truth? Tell it like it is. Don't worry about. Hey, if it comes to my soul, there's a rattlesnake in my sleeping bag. Don't just beat around the bush. Tell me. Tell me how big it is. Tell me about its fangs and the poison, how you swell up. Tell me about it. Don't just say, well, I don't want to offend you. Just have a good night's rest. Nighty night. Oh, come on now. Let's don't do it like that. Hey, man. Now, look. Jesus said, you are so sanctified that you won't eat a piece of cornbread if you haven't had time to wash. Now, look. I believe in cleanliness. How many? Now, don't nobody raise your hand, but I want to ask you if you've ever heard this verse. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, I got news for you. That's not a verse. Tricked you, didn't I? It's not in the Bible. But cleanliness is a good deal. You know, but if I have a choice between dirty hands and no cornbread, or cornbread with dirty hands, you got it figured out. It's the bread. You don't believe that? That's not the doctrine you believe? That's the way it is. But now, here's the crux of the matter. We need to eliminate all of this tradition and baggage that's not the Word of God. Don't put it in a category of God's Word if it's not God's Word. If it is God's Word, don't put it in the category of maybe so, maybe not so. If it's God's Word, we're going to be held accountable for every jot, every tittle, every word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. Am I preaching right to you or not? Woo! Feel like preaching a little bit here this morning. Hey, man. Listen to what he said. He said, Lord, now we're going to go on and deal a little bit more with this that proceedeth out of a man. But I had to drop this in. I thought this was great where they come to him and said, those Pharisees are offended at you. I wonder what they were doing. I wonder how they stick their bottom lip out. Did they take their tithe out of the plate? I'm not paying my tithe. About to make you mad, ain't I? Huh? I ain't trying to. Wonder how they reacted. You know, I was preaching in a meeting here a while back, and brother, I felt pretty good liberty. It was surprising. I felt pretty good liberty. Till one night, out of the blue, Brother Jeffrey, I don't know what happened, because I'm not from that area. I don't know nobody's going on, nothing going on. I didn't ask no questions. But buddy, I hit a root I could not plow out. By the time I got done, my feet was hurting plumb up to my collarbone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time I hollered, hallelujah, it hurt all the way up my spinal cord. Y'all never been there. Anybody else there? Brother Jeffrey's been there? Any of you other preachers? And I mean, I was beating my head against the wall. You know what? Something had been said in that service, that in that message or in the preliminaries, that ticked a group of people off, and they were sitting on the service. You say, well, you think one person can hinder it if they're mean enough. They got a bad enough spirit in them. Huh? I tell you, we need to take the Word of God. These Pharisees got all shook up. You know why they got shook up? They weren't right with God. Wasn't even close. Now listen to this. And he said, he answered and said, now listen to this. Woo! He said, knowest thou the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered them and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's what he said about the Pharisee. They got offended at your message, Lord. He said, I'll tell you, everyone that my Father has not planted, it's going to be rooted up. Amen. If we're going to go to heaven, we're going to be the plant of God. We're going to get saved the way God wants to save us. When God wants to save us, come on now. It's going to be by His grace. Amen. And there ain't going to be no imposters slip through, amen, the security. Can you say amen? Woo! Aren't you glad you got it? Aren't you glad you got it? Nobody has to tell you. you got it? Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you've been planted by the Lord? Amen. It's going to come down. I said it's going to come down to this. And he said, and here in essence is what he told those disciples. And in this modern church world would have said, don't be judgmental. Brother, they have perverted that verse till they've got us blind and deaf and dumb. And we can't judge nothing around us. But that's not the truth. Amen. The truth is, if God has not planted them, they're going to get plucked up. Is that right? And he was referring to these Pharisees. He said, they're not of my Father. Here's what he said. Let them alone. Now, brother, you may think that's good. Oh, goody. God's going to leave me alone. It ain't good. How many knows that ain't good? Woo, feel the Holy Ghost in here. You know what he said about Ephraim when Ephraim just kept joining himself? You know what God said about Ephraim? Let them alone. He said to these Pharisees, just leave them alone. I feel like preaching a little bit. Now, I'm not a wise guy. I don't have a lot of sense. But I've lived long enough now to watch some things. Amen. And you spend enough time in prayer, staying saved, God, don't he help you? Don't he give you understanding about things you didn't know before? Huh? But you watch little things come up, and you know sometimes, and I know y'all going to have this hard to believe, but sometimes people are just like these Pharisees. They'll want to instigate a little trouble. And even in church or between churches. And somebody will go and want to call. Hey, I had a fellow one time that a friend of mine, and he called. He was hurt. He was mad. And somebody had said something about him. And, buddy, he was riled up. And, you know, and I could tell he was mad enough nearly to do something. And I said, where did you hear that? And he said, a friend of mine told me that. And I said, why did they tell you that? Are you listening? Well, they said they were watching my back. And I said, has it helped you? What do you mean? Now, don't blame them. I believe they told the truth. How many knows ever truth is not gospel truth? You don't believe that? What if, you know, like somebody said, Brother Randy, you're ugly. That might be the truth, but it ain't the gospel truth. Huh? No. Gospel's good news. That's bad news. Huh? You know what that fella called? He'd overheard somebody say, I don't even think he's a holiness man. And get on the phone. Well, I tell you what, now I'm your friend and I'm covering you. I'm watching your back. But so-and-so said he didn't even think you're the holiness man. Now, what good's going to come out of that? Man, you talk about mad. They were two mad people on the phone then. I got mad. Why did you get mad? Because somebody's just trying to instigate trouble. We got all the trouble we need with having manufactured trouble. We got to fight the devil and the world and our own flesh. We don't need anybody breaking in here and causing any more trouble. You say you've got off message. No, I have not got off message. Amen. But I'll tell you what does good sometimes when a little row comes up in church. And a lot of times, they know how I am. So they don't bring a whole lot to me. But, well, I can feel them saying, something ought to be done. Something ought to be done. When the essence of the thing is, sometimes God says, leave them alone. And I know that's contrary to nature when you want to jerk them up and knock a knot on their head in Jesus' name. But sometimes it's best just to leave it alone. Now, does that help the situation? No. Generally, it brings judgment upon the situation when God quits dealing with it. And here's what he said. These Pharisees, they're not plants of God. Now, as soon as we understand that everything that carries a Bible is not a Christian, we'll understand we need the discerning of spirits. Amen. Come on now. That's right. And we need the discerning of spirits to be able to try the spirit and see if they be of God. Now, these Pharisees were not of God. They seemed to be the most religious people in the whole country, but they weren't even plants of the Lord. And the Lord said, if they're not plants of God, they'll be rooted out. Leave them alone. And then what's the next thing he said about them? And I got 10 more minutes. Stay with me now. What's the next thing he said about them? He said, they are, what does it say? Blind. What if you needed brain surgery, Brother Darrell? Just picked you out by random, nothing personal. What if you needed brain surgery and they took you to the specialist and he come in with a C&I dog? What would you want to transfer? Would you want a second opinion? Huh? Oh, nothing wrong with a guy that's blind and see it, but you know, he said, "Hey, let me hold still now. Where are you at? You're here somewhere. I don't want a blind man operating on me." These men, I don't want a blind man preaching to me. Are y'all there? I don't want a blind man leading me. What did it say? They are blind. Let them alone. They're blind. What did it say next? They are blind leaders of the blind. Oh, come on now. Feel like preaching. They are blind. I've dealt with young people all my life. Makes me almost feel young. Not quite. But what really throws them sometimes is when their leaders are blind. And they need really, you know, and they'll look at older kids or even adults. And they're not doing right. And they're following them. There was a man who wrote a book years ago, and the cover of it had a piece of artwork on it. I think it was Francis Schaeffer. You ever read any Francis Schaeffer? Anybody ever read Francis Schaeffer? He is an anti-abortion man. He's an old writer. And on the front of that, I'm trying to think of the name of the book is A Time for Anger. And on the front of that book, it's got a portrait of this verse, the blind leading the blind. And it's got an old painting, looks like, you know, over in a maybe a English setting, going down an old dirt, crooked, rough road. And this man, and you can tell that his eyes are blind, and he's got his tapping stick. And he's going down and stumbling right along headlong into a ravine. And here's a bunch of people behind him in the same shape. And they're all just tumbling headlong into the ditch. Amen. That's what these Pharisees were. I don't mean to weary you this morning, but that's what these Pharisees were. They were blind. They stood in the door. They did not have the truth of God in them. But they were trying to instruct and demand and put yokes upon the people. You've got to come this way, when they didn't even have sight for themselves. I'm going to tell you, it is a dangerous place to be when we get away from God's word into how we think it ought to go. I wouldn't even want to take a chance. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. What's the end of it? There ain't but one end, the ditch. Now, I need to talk to you about this. A few minutes, we'll be done. Listen to this. And Jesus said, or they answered, answered Peter and said to him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? See, that's the blindness that he's talking about the Pharisees. They didn't understand. They didn't believe in Christ. They did not understand the essence, the grace and mercy that was in the law. Amen. and so they were blind. And he said, do not yet you understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out in the draught. Don't you understand that? That food is going to be digested. It's going to go out of your system. It does not defile you. But, he says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed, listen, are you with me? I feel like preaching to you this morning. I guarantee you there's somebody in this house this morning that needs to get their heart right. You hear me now? Oh, you're going through the motions. You're in church, and that's a positive thing. But until that heart is sanctified, then your deeds and actions are not going to be sanctified. And so he said, out of the heart, and here's what comes out of the heart, and I'm almost done, but I want you to listen to this. This is heavy stuff. He said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Now, I know I've dealt with kids, and, you know, a lot of times, now the devil's playground is the thought pattern, and he'll put thoughts in there that are not yours. I mean, you be as clean and pure and sanctified as you can be, and he'll suggest something in your mind. I've told you about, I'm going to be done here in a little bit. God bless you. But I've told you about praying for that man to get the Holy Ghost that time, a new convert, big man. I mean, he was probably 6'7", whopper, 350 pounds. And I was a young preacher, and they was praying. He was trying to get the Holy Ghost. I thought he was down here praying. So I just went over by him, and I just laid my hand on him, shook him a little bit, prayed for him. God, give him the Holy Ghost. Bless him, Lord. I walked back around. Nobody else praying with him, so I just walked back over there. Lord, bless him. Bless him, Jesus. Bless him. Let him get the Holy Ghost. Big old guy. Well, he didn't get it. But he got, when the service was over, everybody went back and sat down, and the preacher got up, and he said, you know, we got Brother so-and-so prayed a while back, and we want him to stand and say something for the Lord. He stood up. He just cried. Man, he just kept getting up. Big old guy. He said, I tell you what, I've been fighting a battle. I got saved, and God, and I know God brought me out of a rough life. He said, the devil still fights me in my thoughts. He said, matter of fact, tonight while I was praying up there, said somebody kept walking by him, shaking me, and said, the devil said, get up and bust him right in the face. I said, rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. Huh? Brother, I'm telling you, I mean, I'm a man of faith, but I'll tell you, I did not pray for that dude no more that week. He did. It took more grace than I had to pray for him. I mean, because I didn't want the devil winning out there and transfiguring my poor, ugly face. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, I've seen little old kids, Brother Darrell, have come to me and said, you know, I got this thought, is that the devil or is that me? And, you know, and you say, well, look, sweetheart, you know, that's not you. You wouldn't do that for the whole, no, I never, that's the devil. And you can't keep the bird from flying over your head, but you don't let them make a nest in your hair. You shoo them off. Huh? But out of the heart comes evil thoughts. That ain't the only thing. I'm almost done. Whoa, hang in here. What next? Out of that heart, it's a matter of the heart. Out of that heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery. Hey, do you know the Bible, listen, I want you to, the Bible says, you know, of course, adultery, you know, bad. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus went on and said, if a man looketh on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery in his heart. How many knows Jesus taught that on Sermon on the Mount? But here's something I want you to notice. Do you know, if there's a lady that dresses in a way to attract that, she's just as guilty as he is. Because the Bible said he has committed adultery with her in his heart. If she's advertised, and that's what immodest apparel is nothing more than an advertisement. And when he sins for her in his heart, but here's the deal. A lot of times we look at that and we think that that vision is what causes that adultery. But it's that heart. It's coming out of that heart. That's why a man looks upon a woman to lust. It doesn't start with the eye. It starts with the heart. Oh, I know you got to, you know, your eye's got a lid. You got to shut that lid. That's right. You cannot indulge in the nudity out here in this world. But it's that heart that's the problem. How many knows I'm preaching right? Murders, go ahead. Adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemers. What is that's what defiles a man. It's not washing with an unclean hand. It's having an unclean heart.
Right.
For out of that comes all those wicked things. Plus more. You didn't think I could aggravate you so much in 30 minutes, did you? That's pretty good. That's efficiency right there now. I mean, those the Bible's right. Oh, my heart's in this for you. My heart is in this for you. There are the things which defileth a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Well, I think he straightened them out pretty good. What do you think? Let's stand. Y'all know this. I ain't told you nothing you don't already know. You know this. We just need to act upon it. You're here this morning, and you've got a heart problem, and I'll tell you what, Christ is a heart specialist. He can, and you know what makes it, let me choose my terms wisely here, what makes it easier for us to do what's right, you know, freedom is not to just do what you want to do. It's to do what's the right thing to do. And to do the right thing is so much more easy when your heart is right. You may mess up, but it'll grieve you so bad you'll repent over it immediately. And God will forgive you. But in order to live a holy life, you must have a holy heart. And Christ is the heart specialist.